T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on, bump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Ladies and gentlemen, we would normally like to ease you into the hot tub waters. Nobody likes jumping into a hot tub, not even if you're in Park City enjoying a nice recreational vacation. How bourgeois is that to start a program? But we got to get down to business. We got breaking news.
Radio.com Sports. Breaking news. Brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class.
All right, here we go. This is huge, and there are a lot of questions. According to Albert Breer, source, 49ers brass will have dinner tonight with Ohio State defensive end Nick Bosa after the Buckeyes pro day. Bosa is standing on his results from the combine. I wanted to start with the Warriors blowout win of the Minnesota Timberwolves last night. And yes, that was a blowout, whether you define it as one or not. But I can't. I have to get to this. Who picks up the tab here? Who picks up the tab in this situation? I have about 8 questions. And here's a big one, too. I'm assuming the Niners pick the tab up on this dinner. How do you tip? Do you over-tip? Do you under-tip? Because if Bosa sees that, you're tipping 25%. And I'm Bosa, I'm thinking, 25%, huh? All right, money bags. Let's see if we can push the envelope a little bit come contract time. I know the contracts are slotted, but maybe I'll want a little bit extra, like my big brother did down there with the Chargers. Good morning, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. With a twist, Dibs is out. He's in Las Vegas enjoying March Madness, which means Jim Cozumore shows up 30 seconds ago. Woo-hoo. No prep, has no idea where we're going. Didn't even take his jacket off yet. Very disheveled.
Didn't do his hair.
I'm far more committed than Dibs is, though. Far more committed. I'm committed to the next 4 hours. He's committed to getting to Vegas because he's a derelict. Fair enough? He's a degenerate gambler. I'm here for you, the people. And I've got a little red one today. I'm a little hot right now.
Yeah, you want to? You know what? Let's tee it up. What are you hot on?
Man, it is. I'm hot at what's going on out there. A 35 minute trip took 1:10 today.
Exactly.
What's going on?
I had the same thing with you.
I was here on time.
Yeah, we were all here around 4-ish. You know, sharing notes, anecdotes, and then a barrage of texts from Anna. Coz doesn't even bother to let us know he's going to be late.
I know. Well, I was letting Cody know, but he doesn't ever pass my news on to you guys.
No, he did.
That's why I add you, also Joe, into my group text, just in case.
Yeah, I see it, and it's like, leave earlier. You ever notice that when you're late, it's everyone else's fault?
I'm just letting you know.
Yes, I do know that.
Right.
It's never her fault. I'm going to be late, and it's someone else's fault. Here's who.
Yeah, there was an accident.
Okay, but if you're late, people don't want to hear how it's other people's fault. Mm. You're the one who's late. Mm. I'm not facing traffic right now. Right. I can't bring all of traffic in here to say, yeah, that's on us.
Right.
Anne is late because of us.
So if I leave the same time every day, but then I happen to be late because there's an accident, that's still my fault.
Why was there an accident?
Because people are idiots. Yeah. People are idiots and they don't know how to drive in the rain.
There it is. It's because it's raining. Now, if only there was a service or some way in which you could understand
that
every time it rains, there is an increased risk of your commute taking longer.
True.
And as a result, you might want to budget a few extra minutes. You'll notice I'll go through this text thread. The only text on this thread are Anna letting you know she's going to be late. I would venture to say that if I went through the Farmer's Almanac, every one of those texts comes on a day when it's raining. So if we know that every time it rains, you're going to be late, why would you just not leave 10 minutes earlier?
Because if it takes me 1 hour and 10 minutes opposed to 45 minutes, even if I leave 10 minutes earlier, still happens.
Boom. Boom,
what do you
Anna.
Want?
Drop the
not
mic,
my fault.
Oh, I don't want anything. I don't mind. Like, I've made it very clear in the past before, if no one shows up, I'll still talk. I will still find a way to talk for 4 straight hours. It won't end. I'll bleed into Guru.
We know.
I will bleed into, who's the other one on that show? It's escaping me right now. I know it's time. Just figure a little light humor. Steiny, I love you. Please don't take that personally. This Bosa thing, though. Let's get into this, and then we'll transition over to the Warriors and what happened last night. They're going to have dinner tonight. I find this fascinating. Obviously, this is just kicking the tires, doing your due diligence. What happens at something like this? Did you have dinners with teams, meetings with teams in preparation of the draft? Like, what are they going to go over tonight? What's protocol? What's etiquette? How do you dress for this thing?
Dude, you come in, did his workout or whatever, or you go visit teams. I remember I went to Atlanta, went to Detroit, and you go and eat with the GM, the head coach, and it's just nothing, just talking to you. They bring the running back position coach. Maybe you and him earlier go grab lunch. You're hanging out at the facility. So, boom, go to hang out at the facility, go watch a little game tape together. Oh, what do you do here? Just get to know you. How's your football IQ? After you leave there, hey, we're going to go down to the training. I'm going to take you down to the training office. After that, take you down to the training facility.
So when I'm done eating, I got to go do stuff?
You don't have to do anything. Just walk around, say hi to everyone. Here's the training staff. You're just asking what they do.
It's a lot of work.
It's formality. This is what they do, though. They want to show you their facility, want to show you around. I mean, because if they're going to draft you, they want you to have some familiarity with some of this stuff. So here's Joey in this situation. He'll go to dinner.
That's a dollar. His name's Nick.
I said Nick.
No, you said Joey. That's a dollar to the Bosa swear
jar. I
hold
on a 10 spot on that mistake.
Oh, my God. It's...
Dibs just threw five in the middle and said, I'm covered for the next few days.
Yeah, and I did do it. And Nick is just in a situation where sometimes, Joe, teams even have a count at these steakhouses, whatever. And they just put it on their tab. So they didn't even Bill didn't even come. And they understand.
That's classy 20%. Right there.
Yeah. So don't even let them see it. You already know the drill. Come to the organization. They pay it the 15, 30%, whatever's already in it. They just say 30. And boom, they don't have to even deal with it. You think they need to see the bill?
So nothing even comes out.
Yeah.
See, that's first class right there. You're not even going to be bothered with the formality of having to put down Jed's company card.
No.
You can just go ahead and send it directly to Jed. Very nice. Very classy.
How much different is it going to a guy's pro day versus taking him to dinner? For instance, they're at Quinn and Williams pro day, and now they're taking a guy to dinner. How much, as a player or with an agent, how much more is it getting elevated when it's dinner time?
Oh, without a doubt, when you go the pro date, have your pro dates, that's when teams are there to see the product. So they want to see your run. They want to see what you got, cone drills, catch the ball, do those things. That's a pro day. When you're doing this dinner deal, it's formality. Believe it or not, with him, it's about their agent. They even probably have their agents, already had conversation. Hey, some of the things we want to do. Hey, listen, you know your brother held out. What's the deal? They don't want to go down this road. They want to make sure that everything's ironed out. They want this a smooth transition. You're talking about, hey, look, are you going to hold out like your brother? Hey, if this is this, you know this is how it works. These are things that you want to get out on the open ahead of time.
I like that.
Of course.
So it's almost, I think most of us would assume going in, the player's really trying to sell the team, right? You want to be a high draft pick.
Yes.
So if you're Murray and you're meeting with Arizona, if you're Bosa and you're meeting with the Niners, you want to convince this team that you're the guy. But
yes.
On the flip side, there's probably a little selling going on behalf of the team to try to convince the player we are the right fit for you. Don't you think, Coase?
Oh, I absolutely agree. That's the one thing that you want to do is make sure you get a guy who's dialed into what you want to do. And you want to sell what you've got because you want to get his best. You want them to know you're going to be the piece. If a guy's sitting down with you and he's saying, you're the piece we need here. Here's how you fit in with us. This is why we're going to look at you and make the pick because of you. How much of that selling helps you make that transition from the college game to the pro game? I got to think it's huge for any football organization to do that.
And not just that. This is where the player, when John Lynch sits down and say, you know, we finished 22 in sacks last year. One of the worst teams in the NFL. We went out and got a guy on the other end from Kansas City. You probably know this guy named Ford. You probably watched him play. What do you like about him? Wants to see how astute he's. Hey, do you know the rich tradition here? What's right? Ronnie Lott. You know, the red. They got the colors here. You like that.
Well,
right?
I see what you're doing. You're blending the Oklahoma speech with the Niner speech. I think there's something to that. I think if we actually put some time into it, we can deliver
work,
for you.
We can work on something.
Yeah.
What would you rather do, though? You're meeting with Bosa. Are you going to go off a guy's tape from 2 years ago, or are you going to look at Quinn and Williams, and you're going to say, I'm looking at a guy who played all the way through the string this year? Isn't there a question mark on Bosa?
You know what? That's a great question. I'm wondering how much of that still matters in this day and age. The first guys through the wall took a lot of heat on that. Remember, what was it, 3 years ago when Christian McCaffrey was like, he and Leonard Fournette, I'm not playing in the bowl game. Oh, you're letting the team down. That's unbelievable. This year, we didn't even have that conversation. Any player who opted out of his bowl game, that wasn't even a thing right? That wasn't even a thing.
In fact, if you played, you were questioned as to how smart you were.
Right. Now,
why not take it off?
Yeah, idiot. You're not playing for a national championship. So I think those are more media talking points than anything else, but you got to figure Coase is on to something there. If you're the Niners, you sit down at dinner. All right, take us through that process. Take us through the mindset as to why you didn't want to finish your career with Ohio State, right? Let that marinate a bit. Let it marinate because we got a lot going on today. Warriors with a big win last night. Klay Thompson and Steve Kerr with some interesting comments after the game. We will dissect that next. It's Joe. It's Lowe. It's Jim Cozumore here on 95.7 The Game.
This high-energy moment in tournament history.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Awesome watching the Warriors ply their craft last night at Minnesota. Because going into a game such as last night's, you're going to hear the same thing over and over and over again. We talked to Greg Papa about it yesterday. We talked to everybody about it. Well, it's the second half of a back-to-back. You have a late game in San Antonio. You get on a plane. You fly 2.5 hours. You're late getting to the hotel. You sleep in. Your body clocks are off. And yet it's still a 10-point win. The Warriors still look good. Steph and Klay last night shot 54% from the floor, a night after shooting 32% from the floor. A rough night against the Spurs. They come back and they have a huge night against Minnesota. It's dicey there, here and there at times. And Minnesota's not that great, but by and large, you take a loss against the Phoenix Suns, which was outright humiliating. You hit the road and you win 3 of 4 with victories over the Rockets, victories over the Thunder, and over Minnesota in a very tight spot. Jim Cozumore in for Dan Dibley today. Anytime this team gives us just that glimpse where they open up the door to start feeling a little bit of concern, a little bit of panic, they quickly shut it and let you know we're still the defending champs, we're still going for the one seed, all is right in Warrior Land.
They have done a great job of figuring out how long 82 games is, and they don't let the little in-between hiccups throw them into a panic. And when it's time for them to tighten the belt, and when it's time for them to kind of show themselves what they need to do to get right, they do it. And this trip is one of those trips that showed it to them. I, though, still think that they'd like to get the number one. I think that's an important thing to get the number one, just because the way things lay out. Whether or not you eventually have to go to Denver, I'm not so certain. But if you do, you're probably going to win the series. But going to Denver's tough. It takes a lot out of you. Playing some of these teams, San Antonio could be tough. The trip down to San Antonio, and then San Antonio's just well coached. It's going to take something out of you. Warriors are getting to the finals. I really believe that. It's how you want to get there. I'd rather have them play at home more often than just open up the opportunity for them to have to go somewhere and win a Game 7. I just don't want to see them have to fight too hard before they have to take on a tough Eastern team.
All right, that leads into a good conversation. Here's Steve Kerr after last night's game regarding the chase for the one seed.
I like where we are this year, though, in terms of the journey. You know, we've got 12 games left. You know, DeMarcus hopefully will be coming back next game. We got Bogut aboard, which is really exciting, how he can help us. And a lot of guys playing well, and we appear to be healthy. So hopefully this sets everything up.
Kerr, Klay, wash, rinse, repeat. Over the last few weeks, we keep hearing about the one seed. It keeps popping up. Do you think they're using that as their motivation to get through the regular season, or do you think there's more here? Do you think they truly believe they need that one seed in order to create a more favorable situation? Obviously, playing more games at home, like Coach said, is going to be better off, but do you think something happened in Houston last year that has them a little bit more fixated on this?
Yeah, I think that history has a way of kind of making you go back and kind of revisit certain things. And without a doubt, Houston has to be at the forefront saying, guys, we understand we won the title last year, but we didn't make it as easy as we could have by having to go to Houston. And hell, Chris Paul gets hurt. There's a lot of skeptics out there that say we might not have won that series. Or if they make half of their 3 points, they went 1 of 27 at the end of that game and they went ice cold. So there's some reasons that they have to say, wow, we need to do better. And I think the best thing about this, as Steve Kerr alluded to, is the process of the home stretch right now. Last year, if you look at this, Coase, the team, the Rockets, already had given the baton to the anchor leg and they were still good and ready to hand the baton to the third, and they were too far out of that race to even try.
We're back on the 4x100 analogy again.
Absolutely.
2 days in a row. It's a strong analogy.
And so they were like, okay, you know when the team is so far ahead of you and you're coming in second, you're not even pushing hard to try to finish it. You're just like, I'm getting through. I know I already got second.
I'll take my silver.
Exactly.
It's like Formula One.
That's exactly where they were last year. They just cruised to the finish line because they knew they could not get the one seed. This year, it's a different situation, Jim Cosmore. I think this team understands what's at stake, and I'm willing to bet it. Too bad you don't have all the buttons like Daniel right now, because I would tell you to lock
guys
it up.
Guys in the
up.
Back, too. Don't worry. They're scrambling.
Yeah.
Lock it up.
What?
Look, I thought they...
Oh, I didn't know if you wanted to lock after the comment was made or right now. So you know what the comment is. You want the lock and then you want the comment?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try this again. Yell lock it up, they'll hit it, and then you do it.
Lock it up. The Warriors will be the number one seed.
Take it back.
Oh, that was it.
Take the lock back. So you're telling me a dynasty, which is currently in possession of the one seed, is going to go on and get the one seed. That's what the big lock it up is?
Yeah, but you got to
realize. Better than that. You're better than that.
I'm not so sure.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not so sure.
That's what I'm saying.
He's not so sure you're better than that. I think he's saying.
Joe's interpreting me a little bit better than you're interpreting me right now. Here's
lock it up. They're going to win the one seed. Do you realize in their last 12 games, only four come against teams that are currently a top eight seed in either conference?
Joe, I didn't even look at that, Joe. I'm just
telling you. Of course you didn't.
Joe?
Had you wouldn't be locking up.
I think that was a hot take. And for you,
lock it up. Lock it up. 10 a.m. Show's over for us. Lock it up.
Goes more. You know, last year in this situation, at times they'd take the foot off the gas pedal. Do you think they could not now? That's a pretty hard. I went out there on a limb right there.
I don't know if it was a limb.
It's terrible.
I don't
even
know if you climbed the tree, for crying out loud. You're not even crossing the street, you know, against the walkway, for crying out loud.
Let's do this. Let's do this. What odds would you need on any team in the West? Pick any team on the West to sit back and say, I'll take that team over the Warriors. Someone asked me yesterday, they said, Joe, the Denver Nuggets are 15-1 to win the West. Not during the regular season, but in the playoffs. They're 15-1 to win the Western Conference. Do you see value in that? I said, no. Nuggets haven't been in the playoffs since 2013. They haven't won a series since 2009. I don't know if these guys are battle-tested. I know they've played two games against the Warriors since mid-January. They got beat by 17 or more in both of them. And they got another game coming up with the Warriors in a week or two. But what team would I need? It got me thinking. It's Houston, the best of the bunch? And if so, what price would you need to put out there for me to go, yeah, I'll get invested. Like, if you gave me Houston at 30-1, I think maybe I'll sit back and say, all right, I might consider that. But that's an astronomical price for a really good team.
Now, if you did that with the East, now you're talking turkey.
You get the whole East? You're just going to get the Eastern champion, or do you have a specific team in mind?
Give me the whole East. If you ask me one team, 76ers, I wouldn't bet. I wouldn't be comfortable.
You're just all over them now. You love them right now.
If
I had to choose, they'll beat the Warriors in seven. Right?
Oh, come on.
Really?
That's where you're going to take the Sixers over the Warriors in the finals right now? All right, yeah, go ahead and lock that up. And mark the tape, whether he likes it or not.
Let me tell you something.
It's locked.
Okay. Let me tell you something. Listen to me, and listen very clear. I'm not saying if the Warriors are praying and hoping the Sixers don't come out of the East. I'm going to tell you that.
I don't think they do that.
Boston can't handle the Warriors. You know that, and I know that. Kawhi and them, but there's a team that Favre's matchup, and they went and got Andrew Bogut for a reason. Bogut in the post, let me tell you what he does. That's when you say Looney's and Dibs, if he was here, I would. He needs a funeral casket. He needs a slap because he said that Bogut wouldn't play that much, and I told you Bogut was going to play last night. Looney said he said he would, and Bogut is going to play way more in the playoffs. Dibs, if you were sitting there, I'll tell you right now. You're wrong, and you're out of line, because Bogut is going to play more than Looney in the playoffs.
Yes! All right.
I got a lot right now. I'm
all right. Don't apologize. Okay. You're doing great. This is a classic example of what I like to call cruise ship radio. Takes a while to get the Royal Caribbean out to sea. But once it's out there and it hits the open Caribbean waters, baby,
you're
up to 15 miles an hour, 13 knots. Let's get ourselves to St. John's and have a good time.
I'm on my way.
All right. Plenty to dissect there. I want to hear what Cozumel has to say about that Philadelphia 76ers prediction. I'm going to put it out to the people, too. Lowe says that if the Sixers and Warriors get together, he likes the Sixers. What say you? 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. All that and more.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Boys and girls, it's a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by our good friends at Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. For those of you that want to hit us up on the following conversation, and I'd imagine there are going to be quite a few of you, the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795 is open for your texting pleasures. Anthony Slater is going to join us in about 27 minutes, and we'll ask him about this upcoming conversation right here. By the way, Jim Cozumel in for Dan Dibley, who is in Las Vegas. Now, people are going to want to know that statement you made in the last segment. Is that to get people riled up? Or do you truly believe it? I just want to lay it all out there. You are of the opinion, okay, and correct me if I'm wrong,
yes,
that if the Warriors and the Philadelphia 76ers meet in the finals, that the Sixers will win that matchup.
Yeah, and here's why. You asked the question, you said people wanted to give you odds about who gives them more competition in the West. And I'm with you. You know, if you look at it in a seven-game series, it just doesn't seem like the West can hang with the Warriors, which is great. And I want the Warriors to win another title because I want this to be – it is a dynasty already. It's going to be, what, three back-to-back-to-back? This is great.
And let's face it, the Bay Area needs the big fella back up on the float again.
Yeah, exactly. I love being
with
on the float.
With the cigar.
Absolutely.
Hell's City, yeah.
I'll even Hell's City, yeah, exactly.
Remember when we went by Codes? Codes
yes.
was working.
Yeah,
was working
I was working, but I love seeing you guys, so I'm always double waving you.
Absolutely. There was the glint of jealous in the eye when he turned around and he saw everyone getting hammered.
That's a hard day, man. That's a hard day. You guys had it easy. You guys had it fun. I was over on the side working. Hey, they're my buddies, Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 Float. Right. Hey, that's the radio station. Oh, I'm so aggravated.
And it's so fun. But it's so fun. And we talked about it. Me and Coles on the way to the, you know, he wants to get some coffee. And we're sitting and chatting. And he was talking about, you know, the East. And he goes, you got some valuable points there, valid points. And we talked about, you know, a team Toronto. But I think Toronto at times can be what the Warriors is. Meaning at times they rely too much on who? Kawhi. And I think that team at times rely a little bit on him, can be a little dominant by Kawhi because they're given to him, so he has to do. And sometimes that's why that team is not the team that I think that posed the biggest threat. When you look at why they got it, went out and got Bogut, I think they understood what's going to happen pretty much when they get to the East. And if the Philadelphia 76ers make it out, but if they don't make, if they do make it out of the East, it's not Giannis, it's not that team. I'm telling you, Philadelphia matches up so well with them. And that's why they went out and got Bogut. If you think about the center position and why did they do this? Looney, good piece, can cover 1-5 at times, can move around, good lateral movement, we got that. But when he's down in the box and they throw the ball down to him, you never see him sit there and post up and hold the ball, make passes behind the back like the big fella can do, like Bogut can do. You look at what Cousins can do with the ball in his hand, pass the cutters and do those things.
They're both great passers. There's no question about it.
Okay, I'm glad you fit with me here. I'm glad you're with me here. And even now Cousins can go ahead and say, I'm going to turn into an offensive weapon down there and do it. But Bogut, because of his veteran leadership and his poise, he can hold onto the ball, and it's not even a it's still not a threat of him trying to score, but teams still let guys cut, and they just because his presence, it's interesting how he allows people to cut, and he can make great passes. So I think they went out and got him for that reason. Those two guys will see the majority of the time.
I agree, but here's the thing when I look at the NBA now.
Please.
There was a time earlier in the year I would have put this out. I would have said, do you take the Warriors or do you take the field? And there was a time when I would have run to the field. I would have said there are so many teams who have a chance because there were times when the Warriors looked wounded. And remember when Steve Kerr was saying, we're spiritually, what did he say? We're spiritually wounded
yes.
at one point?
Yes.
I'm jumping to the field. As the season wears on, I think super great teams, and this isn't just a great team. This is a dominant force. I think super great teams need little extra bonuses. And one of those extra bonuses this year for this group is getting the one seed. If I were to say, what do you take now? With 12 games to go, the field or the Warriors, what would you take? I'm giving you everyone in the West and everyone in the East. Everyone goes to the Warriors right now because it's winning time. It's business time. They know when to win.
Every time that they have created an opportunity to doubt them, they quickly come back and slam that door, right? Like, they lost that Houston game at the beginning of January. It was like, damn, how are you going to let that one get away from you? And that was like a week and a half after they had gotten blown out at home against LeBron and the Lakers on Christmas. And then they ripped off, what was it, like 11 straight wins? Something like that, just a casual double-digit winning streak. And then they faltered a couple times, most notably Phoenix, and then snapped back by going 3-1 on a road trip when everyone was sitting there going, well, you know, I could see him losing to Houston. I could see him losing at OKC. San Antonio's never easy, and Minnesota's a tough spot. They went 3-1. They're coming home. They're getting set for a Pacer team Thursday night that, while playing well without Oladipo, they've still lost 7 straight road games, 1-6 against the spread in those road games. That's a bet against right there Thursday night. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. But let's look at it like this. We've got, what, 3 weeks or so left in the regular season. Of the 5 years, and this being the fifth year, in which we've been a part of a championship run, what's your confidence level this year versus other years? You were probably the shakiest in year one, right? Because there was so much uncertainty.
Sure, absolutely.
So we'll rank that one at the bottom of the list. I don't know where we were our most arrogant. Was it the 73-win season? Was it the first year of Durant? Because remember, they were just crushing people that year.
Durant, you knew it was foregone. When Durant first came, That was most arrogant.
That was the most arrogant. I think I'd probably agree.
I think I'd go 73-win team.
You still didn't
when
know.
They
you,
step on everybody, and we're sitting here thinking 16-0.
Wait a minute. They didn't have Kyrie that year before. And now that you could not, for you to just dismiss that, especially as you being an analyst, this is you're wrong and you're out of line.
Jim, the fact that you're an analyst makes this even worse for you.
Absolutely. For you to sit there for.
I'm not a very good analyst, but I'm an analyst.
Yo, for this guy to sit here and for you.
I'm standing.
No, but standing, sitting, whatever you want to do. Jim, I got to call you on this.
Because
it's absurd.
How?
Okay, let me tell you how.
73 wins. They were walking around throwing their sneakers on the floor like they didn't have to show up. They were that arrogant. They were that much better.
We were really arrogant that year. We've been quite arrogant for a few of these years. I think last year had a little bit of a reality check just because they struggled during the regular season. The 73-win year, we were comparing them to Jordan and the Bulls without them even getting to the playoffs.
Yes, that's a good point.
Okay. That's a good point. No, Joe, you were on this side. You don't let this guy take you down this rabbit. I remember you said, what would you rather have? I remember it like yesterday. You said, you guys want them to break this record or win a title? And people, break this record. You said, this title thing is scaring me. Check the tape. You're like, so when you're sitting here saying that, oh, it's just arrogant. Yeah, you saw some arrogance, but you said, I think they're expending a lot of energy. Every day you would come on the show.
Agreed.
And you were saying that.
Well, I'm just trying to rank the five in terms of fan base. You make a great point.
But let me finish jumping on Mr. Coe some more because it's laughable.
As you sideswipe me on the way over there.
I had to. But, here's the thing. The year one, LeBron misses the layup. They would have won that game. At the end of that game, would have won it here. Kyrie blows out his knee. No Kevin Love. And the following year, you're talking about 73 wins. I get it. But now you're talking about a team that is fully at 100% when you're talking about the Cavs. So for you guys to just dismiss that team, and then that following year they had everyone.
It's not that anyone's dismissing it. It's that arrogance isn't rooted in rationality. It's not rooted in rationality. That year, the buildup to that season, honestly,
this is Radio Coast.
When you compare 2 to 3, working with him, he walks around like that. By the way, I didn't get a chance to talk to you, I'm trying to picture it in my mind. When you guys were outside the Kings game the other night, when you were dancing, what was the song?
I forget. I don't know.
What was the song that went viral? They were awesome. They got the whole crowd jumping up.
Steve Aoki, wasn't it?
Yeah. Steve Aoki was doing some stuff.
That was awesome, by the way.
Pogoing to Steve Aoki.
A nice little viral moment.
Thank
you
very much. Thank you. I know. Everyone wanted to watch the old guy. I had a deep hot take about some of the Warrior losses, and you guys are jumping all over.
Yeah, dang.
God, dang.
We're kind of up against it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You were kind of up against it.
I got so much more.
I do too. We had cruise ship radio. We just had hijack radio again.
Yes.
Hijacking takes and no one has it. You're not letting your co-host have an opportunity to get in.
Don't worry. We're going to be fine. We got 4 hours here. Because we're talking about Warrior losses and where we are as a fan base and then the arrogance of what was going on over the years. Every one of these losses, I can make a case for panic. I'm looking at some of these losses, but we'll get to that.
All right. All right. Lowe's sitting back. He's loving it. Let's ease our way into the hot tub, boys. Still the opening hour. Now, we told you in the first segment that the Niners were having dinner with Nick Bosa tonight, but there was a secret meeting yesterday that could have had an even bigger impact on the San Francisco franchise. How about that? That cliffhanger is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. We're back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
Three-time champion.
The one-time darlings are now a dynasty.
Two-time MVP.
Why not? Why not?
The face of the franchise.
Here's Steph Curry! Ridiculous!
Steph Curry with Damon Bruce. Tomorrow at 5:10 on the Bay Area's number one sports station. 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Coach, here's your Steve Aoki.
That's right. Let's do it, baby.
Look at Coach.
What's the name of this? Boneless, right?
Get it cozy. Look
boneless
at cozy.
Buffalo wings.
Cozy getting hype.
That's right,
here.
Man.
Jim Cozumore in for Dan Dibley, who is in Las Vegas for the next few days. Don't worry. Dib's scheduled to return on Monday. It's your boys, Joe, Lowe, and Coz here on 95.7 The Game. All right. More Warrior talk with Anthony Slater in about 10 minutes. Tim Hardaway, the five-time All-Star, is going to join us at 7:30. Matt Barrows on the Niners at 9:10. Monty Poole at 9:35.
You banged me with a huge tease moments ago, so you better sell it.
Yeah, so here we go. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated reported just before we went on air today that the Niners and Nick Bosa were going to have dinner tonight. Very, very interesting scenario. Not really. They're going to have dinner and they're going to get to know one another. But it's good news because the Niners are looking at the number one pass rusher in this draft. They could use some help at that position. We're all very excited about the possibility of Nick Bosa landing with the 49ers. But there was another meeting that took place yesterday that's going to add more fuel to the fire about what happens at number two. In Norman, Oklahoma, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Kyler Murray had a secret meeting with Arizona Cardinal head coach Cliff Kingsbury and Arizona Cardinals general manager Steve Keim. Now, if you remember, I think it was a week or two ago, just last week, Oklahoma had its pro day, and the Arizona Cardinals sent no one to it. No one even bothered showing up for this. And now a week later, Keim, the GM, and Kingsbury, the head coach, fly to Norman to meet with Kyler Murray in a secret meeting. Now, not so secret because it leaked. Aaron Wilson, good friend of mine from the Houston Chronicle, he had the scoop. Adam Schefter of ESPN confirmed it. So first and foremost, who leaks that? Does the team leak it, or does the player agent leak it? Because I sat there this morning thinking I could go 50-50 on that. The team's leaking it if they want people to trade up. The player agent's leaking it because, remember, you just turned down baseball for football. And then Mike Trout got $430 million, and you might be thinking, I don't know about this as much.
You know what? I'm still going agent on this one, Lo. I'm saying the agent's the leaker in this because if the Arizona Cardinals were so brash at not even showing up at the pro day trying to throw everyone off the sniff, I think that they're going to try to keep it as quiet as possible, that they fly in and just kind of swoop down, helicopter in, have their conversation with a guy. They don't want to embarrass Josh Rosen because they know they still have to move him. It's the agent that's the leaker in this. I'm going agent on the leak.
I'm going media in general. Here's the thing you have to realize, Jim.
You hate the media. I know
no,
what
no,
it
no.
is.
If you were going to a game, and even if you weren't going to broadcast the game, you walk in the stadium, someone's leaking it. You have to realize, when these guys fly in, the people are looking around. There's people that just says, okay, what are these guys doing here? I just think that it's just people, cameras, all this stuff. You can't go anywhere without someone leaking something or doing whatever. So I don't even think it might have been the agent. I think that you had people see it. Someone said, oh, I think that I see the head coach. They're here. Or I think they see him at school, whether it's a dinner place.
Yeah, but how about this?
Where can you go? Tell me where could they go and not have been that no one knows?
It's not like Murray is that popular in Norman, Oklahoma.
Exactly.
It's a huge place, like
Thank
Manhattan.
You.
Isn't this like in college football where you see somehow, who are these guys who follow the
tail
number on flights. Do you ever see that?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Generally with LeBron or a basketball player who is LeBron mostly more than anyone else.
Yeah.
You track
the flight
to see where they're landing.
Or college coaches when you're going to recruit a guy. It's the same thing. And where did the Arizona coach come from? College. Maybe the guy who was at the airport. They're getting on a private plane. He knows the number.
And he was in Oklahoma. What are they in Oklahoma
He
for?
Knows where that flight's going.
I don't know. Tornado chasing?
Right.
I don't know what else happens there besides Oklahoma football.
You're right.
It's one of like six states I've never been to. I'm sure it's nice. I've just never driven through it.
Bless the people there. I know there's a lot of water, a lot of flooding in those areas.
Yeah, tough stuff going on.
Yeah, Nebraska. I saw that. Thoughts with the heartland.
It's a fun area. In fact, quick Oklahoma story. You want a good quick Oklahoma story?
It can't be that fun of an area. We're sitting here, you know, paying our respects to the flooding that's taking place, damaging crops and property.
We understand that. You're laughing and having a great time about some great story
you probably have about a time you probably had too many old styles.
Had nothing to do with me.
Chicago.
Had nothing to do with me. Has to do with Paul McCartney.
No.
When he turned 66, he rented a convertible and started in Chicago and drove the entire route of Route 66 and along the way just made casual stops. Well, in Oklahoma City, there's a place called Pops. It has all these original soda pops from, you know, throughout the ages in the original bottle form. He rolls in his convertible and just like parks, walks to the thing, standing in line. And, you know, the person in front's going, oh, Fortinball, party of two. Lorenzo Neal, party of four. And the next guy he goes, that's Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney's just sitting there with everybody in Oklahoma City, just casually having a burger, a couple of pops, talking to people about music. I think it's a pretty cool story.
That's awesome.
So just in summation, you told me a story about a guy having dinner.
No, lunch.
Thank you, Joe.
Lunch.
Oh, well, it's Paul McCartney having dinner.
But at the age of 66,
I'm sorry, did the Beatles not eat?
66.
Did the Beatles not eat food?
He was in Wings at the time. Paul McCartney in Wings. Don't even give me that Beatles stuff. That's a pretty good story about Oklahoma City. It's probably the biggest star ever.
That is probably the worst Beatles story in the history of Beatles stories.
But the best Wings story.
It's a story about a guy having dinner. Wow. It's not even.
I like the Route 66 idea.
At the age of 66.
That's pretty cool.
Right?
That's awesome.
And he continued on his way all the way to the end in Los Angeles. I think that's a good story. If I make it to 66,
the best part about it is
it's
the fact
over.
That it feels like it's over. It feels like we've reached the end of it.
He walks away from the mic. He does.
I know.
We should just get you so you can carry the lapel.
Right, lapel.
All right. It's one thing that you've got the Arizona GM and the Arizona head coach in Arizona meeting with Kyler Murray. That's one thing, right? You know, we've heard this before. We know there's interest. But I promised you something good, and we're getting to something good. Alex Marvez, NFL insider, long time. He's on Clay Travis's show this morning. If somehow, some way, Kyler Murray doesn't go number one overall, and the Niners are sitting there at two, and Murray's on the board, take a listen to this possible scenario.
It's such a weird thing that the Cardinals are doing here. They're the team, in a lot of ways, that control the draft, because if they pass on Kyler Murray, and let's say you're the Miami Dolphins and you're committed to Kyler Murray, and they did have a private workout with him, by the way, after his Oklahoma Pro Day last week, but you think Kyler Murray is all that in a bag of donuts and the next Dan Marino, et cetera. Well, I think you're hoping that Arizona passes up, and San Francisco's hoping that Arizona passes up, because the 49ers, by acquiring Dee Ford in a trade, suddenly their need for an edge rusher has been alleviated a little bit, and it's a team that has some other holes, especially in the secondary, that they may want to fill. And they need a number one wide receiver. So if you're talking about the Dolphins here, what would the Dolphins be willing to give up to move up from number 13, for example? Would it be Kenny Stills, you know, along with their first round draft pick? And then the 49ers drop down to 13, acquire some more picks, and they're off and running from there.
Now is where the fun begins. Miami Dolphin new head coach Brian Flores coached the defense in New England last season. That's where he comes from. He is well aware of what Brady and Belichick have left in the tank. So he knows what he's up against in terms of competition this year, but in terms of dynasty moving forward. He's seen Brady firsthand every day. He probably has an idea that Brady's good for another three. Brady might be good for another one. He's got to find a way to build this Miami program up. There is speculation that Miami is going full bore tank this season. They traded Ryan Tannehill. They brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Basically find a way to get to the number one pick next year. Maybe draft Tua Tagovailoa out of Alabama. Whatever it may be, they're not in any rush. Then there's this speculation. They go out, they have a private workout with Kyler Murray, and if he falls to 2, where the Niners are, a trade from 13, which is where Miami currently resides, up to 2. Miami's organization has done this before under owner Stephen Ross. I believe they were at 13 a few years ago when they traded with the Raiders. They came up to get Deion Jordan. The Raiders slid back and drafted DJ Hayden, if you remember that scenario. Now, the Raiders only picked up an additional second-round pick along the way. It wasn't the best draft haul, but moves like this for a quarterback can bring a serious return. Just to give you an example, when the Eagles traded with Cleveland to come up and get Carson Wentz, that was pick number 2. Cleveland was only coming up from number 8. They weren't coming up from 13. They did a pick swap, so the Niners in this situation would slide back. They would get 8 like the Browns did. They also picked up a 3rd-round pick that year, a 4th-round pick that year. The next year, they got a 1st-round pick. The year after that, they got an additional 2nd-round pick. That's a pretty nice haul. So you have to start asking yourself here, if you're the Niners and the Dolphins come calling on draft day for pick number 2 because Kyler Murray's there, and we're talking about additional firsts, additional seconds, how serious are you taking that phone call? Sliding back to 13 is a big move.
It's a big move. It really is. That's you're falling back. You're missing. Allen's not going to be there. Bosa, you're talking about, is not going to be there.
Quinton Williams,
he's gone. So if you're looking at it that, you're saying, look it, and you let them know. And this is where John Lynch would have to say, look, I'm missing out on generational talent that I'm going to drop back to 13 to help you guys. So I'm going to get 13. I get that. But I want your 1st-round pick, of course, next year. And of course, I want your 2nd round. I want my 1st, and I want 2 2nd rounds. That's what I'd like. If you want to jump that high, and I'm leaving Nick Bosa, and I'm leaving Josh Allen, Quentin, I definitely need your 1st plus 2 2nd rounds.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game with a twist today. Dibs is in Vegas enjoying the madness. Jim Cozumel in his stead for the rest of the week. We are going to revisit the Niner conversation and the possibility of the Miami Dolphins at pick number 13 trading up to pick number 2 with San Francisco. What would that cost? Would you be on board? What would it look like? All that good stuff is coming up, but right now we pivot to the phones. Warriors insider from The Athletic, Anthony Slater, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Anthony, good morning and thank you for your time. Let's start with Andrew Bogut. 2 games back with the Warriors. He had to do a lot of flying. Came in from Australia on Saturday to San Antonio on Sunday. Then, what is it, Monday night, he's heading up to Minnesota with the team. What do you think about how Bogut's looked and his place with this squad moving forward?
I thought game 1 was good. Game 2, less effective. I think he was a minus 9 in his 13 minutes last night. It was tough to, you know, you're not only just dropping him in after what you mentioned, all the flying, the jet lag, just not playing basketball for a few weeks. But you got him facing LaMarcus Aldridge and then Karl Anthony Towns. And I thought you could really see kind of youth versus kind of tired legs last night. Towns really kind of gave it to him. And Towns has been awesome for about 3 months now, really ever since they traded Jimmy Butler. And last night he had 26 and 21. And, you know, Bogut's just reentering a league that's a bit different than the one he left. You know, bigs are shooting threes now. He used to face LaMarcus Aldridge, but LaMarcus Aldridge didn't used to shoot threes like he does now. And Towns last night, you know, he stretched Bogut out and he went right by Bogut kind of once Bogut had to scatter out to the perimeter. So, what was expected. I thought he did some good things. He passed well. His screens were awesome. But now I think he settles back into a more comfortable role where starting Thursday he'll be backing up Cousins.
Slates, you take a look at, well, the assumption is obviously Boogie's coming back. So how much is Steve Kerr going to use the final 12 games? Is he going to use this 12-game stretch to determine how Bogut should be used versus how Boogie should be used and what those options are? And would it be more of a whatever matches up against that particular team, or is Steve Kerr the kind of guy that says, I worry about my team and I work my rotation, so let someone else try to beat me at my best game?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be Cousins every game starting that he plays. I mean, they still have 3 more back-to-backs, and that's really what he's going to prioritize down the stretch is rest. And I don't think Cousins will play on both sides of any back-to-back. But, you know, when Cousins is in the lineup, Cousins is, I think, going to get probably 25 to 30 minutes a night. Bogut will be, I think, maybe switching off with Looney as far as backup minutes, and that'll be more matchup based. You know, do they play a team with a big kind of bruising center, you know, and Hassan Whiteside, or, you know, a Steven Adams, or are they playing, you know, I would say more commonly they'll be playing teams with you know, smaller fours and stretch fives and different stuff coming off the bench. Montrezl Harrell, you know, from the Clippers, that's their likely first round matchup, I'd say at this point. And that's maybe more of a Kevon Looney type matchup. So, it'll just, to me, the backup minutes will just be kind of pick and choose. And I can see Bogut sliding into, you know, maybe an every other night type backup role.
Compare and contrast Looney and Bogut.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.